those are reserved. Nope, you got to find an unreserved spot. Amen. You're leaving then, okay. We're going to pray for you. Amen. Don't you get me started now. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. My name is Pastor Harrison. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's my honor today to bring God's word. And I do consider it an honor, and I think God has something special for us today that I've never done before. And so I'm super excited. You notice these reserved seating in the front here, and it just shook all kinds of people up. What? That's my spot, right? Hey, listen, this is normally where I sit. But guess what? God's spirit even reaches the back. Right, back row? Come on, back row. Woo, glory to God in the back row. Amen. Amen. God is everywhere. I hope that didn't deter you from giving to God. I told somebody this morning, hopefully you're not just paying for your spot, you still tithe to the Lord. Amen. Amen. God, praise God. We're not that kind of church, okay? We don't want to be that kind of church. We do not want to be that kind of church. Nobody likes a guest coming in and says, excuse me, sir, you're in my spot. And you say, excuse me, ma'am, this is the last time I'll be here. Because that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. Amen? Amen. You ready for God's word? Amen. All right. I pray that you're doing well. I am eventually going to sit down, but as you know, if you've been here long enough, man, it is hard to sit down and preach because I am not used to that. I love to move around, but I believe God's doing something. So this month is September, and God's theme this month is Dear Church. Have you been blessed by the last couple weeks? Amen? Humanism 2 weeks ago, last week was the Pietist movement, right? And you're like, what are those words? Well, you got to listen back. We're going to get the Pietist movement up on the today, hopefully. We're going to get that up on the website so you can listen to it. But the first week is there, and God has another awesome thing for us today. And I pray that you've been blessed by these themes. You know, when I felt like God was saying, let's do Dear Church, and then I was praying about what does that mean, I just wanted to make it personal. It's supposed to be like personal. That's why I sit down as if you and I were in my office and you give me a chance to talk and you say, Pastor, what's God talking to you about right now? And I'm like, this is what God is talking to us about right now. This is what he's saying to me. That's what I want it to be like. And so what I've done and what God has asked me to do is just like the Apostle Paul does in the New Testament. He writes letters to churches and to people to edify, to build us up, to correct us and the people that he loves and he prays for and he cared for the most. And that's what God has told me to do. And I'm surprised because I thought Dear Church would maybe be something a little more simplistic, maybe a little bit more heartfelt. But I have studied so hard that it's like crazy. I'm just studying like Pietist movement. God, what is that? And then I study, and then I study, and then I read, and I listen to sermons, and this and that, and then I get into it, and I say, God, what are you saying? And then he gave us that. And then humanist movement in America, right? It is a unbiblical thought life that we have in America today, and it is destroying our country, and we are in a revolution, church. We're in a revolution right now, and the Christians are in a revolution, rising up against that mindset. We wonder why America is falling the way it is because we have a humanistic mindset. We think that humans are above all instead of God is above all, exactly how we were founded. And so God has been moving. And I pray that this morning that I'll be able to continue that. God has written a letter through me to you. Are you ready? Five people ready. Awesome. Amen. Six people. Come on. Are you ready this morning? Yeah. Amen. 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 So before I do this, about 4 to 6 weeks ago, okay? About 4 to 6 weeks ago, I called for people in the fivefold ministry that at some point in your life, God said that you're called into the fivefold ministry. And there was 35 to 40 of you that stood up and you came to the front and I laid hands on you and I prayed for you, right? What does that mean? It doesn't mean you necessarily have to work in a church, right? You've been called into the fivefold ministry. I want to read to you what that is in God's word. In Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministry are these five things. It's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are the fivefold ministry. And what is their purpose? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until all come to such unity in faith and knowledge of God's Son, and we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Okay, fivefold ministry. You've been called at some point in your life. I don't know if you've already fulfilled that call. I don't know if you're fulfilling it now. I don't know if God's preparing you to fulfill that. But at some point in your life, if you're called to the fivefold ministry, will you please stand right now? Right now, go. Come on, all y'all. I know there's a lot of you. Awesome. All of you. Teachers, preachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets. Right now, grab your stuff and sit in these reserved seats. Right now, grab it. If you have to leave your family, that's all right. They'll be okay with you for one service, right? We got ushers to help out, even though the head usher's got to get up here too. Come on up. Reserve seating for you. First three rows, all y'all. Come on now. Come on up. First three rows. Praise God. I think it grew. Hallelujah. If you need to sit in the fourth row, you can. If not, y'all get snuggly. It's a family, and you're about to smell your family because you're sitting next close to them. Praise God. This is awesome. Awesome. Woo! Fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Okay, this is where I sit down. Amen. All right. Do me good, chair. Help me out here. All right, this message is not just for the fivefold ministry. This message is for all believers called into ministry or not called into ministry. This morning, I do want to hone in on ministry leaders. Ministry leaders, just like the Apostle Paul did in the New Testament with Timothy. Pastor Stevens, you're in the wrong seat, sir. You need to come up to the front. How is that even possible? We're not going to start until he gets up here. Give him a hand, folks. What on earth? Come on now. I call him boss. Have you ever done that to your boss before? Hey, boss. You're not listening to me. Amen. Glad you're up here. I want to hone in on ministry leaders. See, just like the Apostle Paul did in the New Testament with Timothy, he honed in on a leader specifically for a purpose. Dear church, there's a purpose. But just like the two letters to Timothy, church, those letters weren't written directly to us. My name's not Timothy. But just because they're not written to us doesn't mean they're not written to us. You get what I'm saying? Amen? Anybody? Amen. God's word is alive and active, and it is for all of us. It is for all of us. So here we go. Dear church, we are called by God to preach the good news of Jesus. So in the summer of 1999, God handpicked me standing in a room with about 400 high schoolers on a hot summer night at a church summer camp and said, you're going to be a pastor. You're going to be a youth pastor, to be exact. I said, God, are you crazy? I barely even know the Bible. As I began to weep and I looked out into the crowd of teenagers, God suddenly filled my heart full of fiery compassion for teenagers. And I thought like David thought, who am I, Lord, that you would be mindful of me? I thought like Moses did, I'm not eloquent in speech. I am no one special. I'm a sinful man, and what I have done disqualifies me. But the Lord never calls the qualified. I mean, anybody reading God's word knows Jesus built the church on a rock, and that rock's name's Peter, and that man had two shoes in his mouth all the time. See, God, the Lord, he never calls the qualified. He will qualify you for his calling if you let him. One of my favorite Bible verses in all of the Bible is one where Paul, as a prisoner, is telling all of us something transformational. He says to a body of believers, like I'm going to say today to a body of believers, Ephesians 4:1. Let me look around real quick, make sure. Amen. Got everybody. Ephesians 4:1, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Dear church, don't get lost today just because you're not called into the fivefold ministry. Everyone say all. All of us are ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? You've been sent by God into this world. We're all called to live a life worthy of what God has called us to. See, no matter what your past may look like, or what your call has called you to. See, some of you have been called to be evangelists, or you've been called to the fivefold ministry. Some of us have been called to be business owners. Some of us have been called to be stay-at-home moms. Some of us have been called to work in a factory or to work in an office. Teenagers, I hope if any of you all been called to the fivefold ministry, you better be sitting with these adults. This ain't just for adults, this is for everybody. Listen to God, and he will tell you his plans for your life. If you don't listen to him, you won't live a life God has called you to live. I do not, and God does not want you to waste your life because of preferences, pressures, or paychecks. If you must, drop everything and follow Jesus, and he will make you a fisher of men. Something I've clearly learned in these past 3.5 years by being a lead pastor of a wonderful God-fearing church is it's impossible to make everyone happy or completely satisfied. It is also equally impossible to not disappoint people. From any position I hold, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a boss, as a friend, all these results seem to end the same. See, I can try to the depths of me to lead people to God, but it is not me that keeps them there. I can try to fix issues like marriages, families, personal or financial, but I am not the answer. See, like any good shepherd, my job is to lead. Lead to greener pastures, not to be the source, not to be the supply. Dear flock, will you look at me? I am a pastor, not a pasture. Amen? So you may be like me, and you've seen many fall away from the protection of our Lord Jesus. I've seen people walk away from the faith from the most horrific, horrendous, and awful things that happened to them. I've also seen people walk away from the faith from the most ridiculous things. I many times in my life have almost done the same. But no matter the reason for the falling away, no matter how deeply my heart may hurt, I will live a life worthy of the call to the best of my ability. I want to tell you, keep running toward God no matter how many fall at your side. Keep running to him even if you disappoint and make other people upset. Keep running to him no matter what people say about you. Keep leading, for he is your supply. Keep leading, for he is your strength. Keep leading, for he is the answer. So I've been praying a long time now and asking the Lord, how do I help other followers of Jesus that are called to lead keep their eyes on the eternal goal and not drop the ball on their calling? So you sit in these seats today because you're called by God. So what can I do as your pastor to help you to lead, to keep your eyes on the eternal goal and not drop the calling God has for you? It does not matter your age. It does not matter your age. It does not matter your age. Young or old, it does not matter your age. So I've been studying, and I've been praying, And I've been reading my word these past few weeks. And I came across an article that just stirred me from Charisma Magazine. And they put it out just recently, and it stirred my heart for the called. So everyone, if you're called this morning, I hope you have some notes ready, because note takers are history makers. If you don't got notes, you're going to miss it today. Amen? Everybody, we got to take notes. See, there are five ministry encouragements I want to write you today that God wanted to give you today. And number one is this. Be bold. Be bold. Last week, I reminded you that Jesus was raised from the dead so you may have the right to invade your reality. Amen? Jesus was raised from the dead. The Spirit of God that lives in you is the same Spirit that rose Christ from the grave. Can I get an amen? Be bold. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." For God has not given us a spirit of fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Your personal faith is not to be just kept only personal. Your personal faith is to affect all aspects of your life and all aspects of your calling. Leaders, you cannot be fearful. You cannot be fearful. That does not mean that you won't have weak knees or anxious thoughts when you step out of your comfort zone. That's not fear. When you do that, that's called faith. See, almost weekly, I throw up before I preach. Amen? Y'all ever want to bless me? Give me some breath mints, because I might have thrown up. See, speaking to others on any level is not easy. And it may never be for you. Although it may be a little scary, you must strap up those boots and go forward anyway. Church, most of the time, your best ability for God is your availability. Tell God yes. Tell God, use me. See, someone must go first, and you've been called to be that someone. If you have surrendered to his call, you must bravely push your fears aside. See, God can turn a wimp into a warrior. I'm living proof of that. Let me tell you a story real quick about my life. Step away from the letter. Sophomore year of college, I was called to be a youth pastor. Remember? Right before I went to senior year of high school. I'm sophomore year of college. First time I ever read God's word is when I'm at Bible college for myself. I'm reading God's word. Bad time to start, because I'm being tested on things I might have read for the very first time. And it's not easy. And I remember sophomore year, I said, "God, I can't preach. Are you kidding me? I can't preach." I applied for a school right by the University of Oregon, and called Northwest Christian College, when I was going to Eugene Bible College. And I applied for a position to be a teacher. I wanted to be a school teacher. Really, I wanted to be a business owner. But I was like, "Well, God, that's in between. So I want to be a school teacher." So what did I do? I applied. I got accepted. I changed my major where I was at. And guess what? God hit me my senior year and said, "No, I called you to preach." And I'm like, "What?" So I had to change my major. I had to tell them again, "I'm sorry, I have to follow God. I'm trying to run from him." And my senior year, I took a lot of extra classes so I could graduate on time. See, it's not easy, but you must be bold. You cannot be a wimp. You're called to be a warrior. Amen? Number two, be strong. Be strong. Let's go back in time for a moment. Paul was in a dark, dingy, disgusting prison, probably with lice all over his body, and the stench that was almost unbearable in the prison cell he was in was a mixture of feces, urine, and maybe even death itself, and it filled his room every day, every night, and every morning. Paul was also shackled, most likely with iron cuffs, and he writes these powerful words to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "Timothy, my dear son, be strong. Be strong. through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Paul was toughened by hardship and suffering. Every leader must be tested by adversity, right? Praise God for adversity. Hallelujah, right? Favorite fruit of the Spirit is self-control. My favorite thing in this world is adversity. Praise God, right? I'm totally being facetious right there. You know it. There was one amen, and that guy might have been lying. It's not easy, and it's not called to be easy. If you can't take the stress and the anguish of spiritual leadership and what it requires, then don't try it. Trust me, you will crumble. Another way someone has said this to me before, if you can do any other job wholeheartedly other than the fivefold ministry, then you are not called into the fivefold ministry. I'm not saying there's not a time for preparation before the launch. I was in Arkansas for 7 years while God was preparing me for this very position. What I am saying is this, if your heart doesn't burn for that calling constantly, then you have the wrong call upon your heart. Today's younger generation, I'm sorry to pick on y'all, right? This ain't you, this is your friends, amen? Today's younger generation has been babied because of humanism, false piety, fatherlessness, helicopter parenting, and many toxic culture pressures that they face every single day. Many young adults are insecure, depressed, full of anxiety, confused about gender and sexuality, and afraid of responsibility. So the word strong almost sounds like a bad word today. But somebody must rise up and be strong to make a change. When you have been chosen by God, be strong. Amen? Number three, stay true to God's word. Stay true to God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. I love the NLT version of that. Whether the time is favorable or not. Do you preach the word of God in aisle 7? Yes, you do. Do you preach the word of God when there's 10 people behind you and that checker needs to know God's word? Yes, you do. Do you preach God's word when you're in the hallway and maybe you're about to be late, but the Holy Ghost says you pray for your friend right now that's falling apart trying to cut themselves? Yes, you do. It might not be favorable, but it's right by the Spirit of God. Preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teachings. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Many leaders in the previous generation failed to preserve biblical morality. Many churches today are crumbling because of false piety as we have modified our theology to match popular culture instead of preaching God's timeless truths. Leaders, be purposeful, not popular. Right? I could be popular. I could fill this place easy. Easy. God hasn't called me to be popular. He's called me to be purposeful. Listen, teachers, preachers, evangelists, prophets, fivefold ministry. Everybody who's called, preach to souls, not to ears. If we want God to heal our land and our churches and send workers into the harvest fields, we have to ask for forgiveness for a generation that thought they could vote to change God's word. Give us, Lord, and realign your true word to our lives again. Give us, God. See, how will churches fight with issues such as sexual behavior, social justice, Respect for Life, the True Self movement for the next 30 years. 2 weeks ago, God gave us a word and a message on humanism and our current revolution we now face as Christians in our own country that was founded by God, but we kicked him out. Because of this unbiblical, oppressive worldview, it dominates our United States of America. Last week, we talked about that we may have been the leading cause of this revolution. Why? Because of our false piety for the past 400 years. Jesus was sent not just for our self-focused faith. It's not all about me. Maybe you came in this morning thinking, what am I going to get out of today? It's not all about us. It's not all about me. We have a self-focused faith, and Jesus affects the person. He does. But he also affects the culture. See, so much responsibility, I believe, are in the hands of God's fivefold ministry ministers. So much. I'm not just responsible for me. You realize when I go to heaven, I'm responsible about what you guys do. I can't make you do something. But if I don't listen to God and want to fill this place instead of fill your souls and fill your spirits, then I will answer for that one day. And everybody who's called into ministry, everybody who's called into fivefold ministry, it is on us. So much responsibility is on us. And it's on the future church leaders that are being raised up. I love that they're letting a young lady up here lead worship. Why would we not? Someday we won't be here. We're called to lead up. I'm thankful that Pastor Cody is here and that I'm able to pour into his life. That someday I won't be here and he's called to do what God has called him to do, to preach the good news. I'm thankful that we pour into the next generation, because if we don't, we won't have the next generation. We need preachers and teachers of righteousness to resist today's onslaught of deception and apostasy. Dear church, preach the true and complete word of God. Cover to cover. Sin is still sin. You can package it how you want it. Sin is still sin. And Jesus still died for them. And we're still called not to judge the world, but to teach and to proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. And there is no way to the Father except through him. Preach the true and complete word of God. Number four, make disciples. Many of us know the Great Commission, and we have heard it, and we try to live it. The principle of discipleship is actually from cover to cover in God's word. Paul teaches that very same principle to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." See, I want you to notice the emphasis here. See, we get it wrong because, well, we have an American mindset because we're born and raised here. We get it wrong. It's not just to build big buildings and to preach to large crowds. Paul stresses quality over quantity. Come on, that's better than y'all saying amen. Paul preaches to quality over quantity. He knew the best way to build a faithful church is to start with a few authentic disciples, then multiply them. Listen. Fivefold ministry, listen. Anybody who's called to do something for God, which is all of us, listen. Big audiences and many followers will make you feel good about yourself. But they can also walk away from you without warning. And if you're going to live for people's acceptance, you're going to die by their rejection. Live for God, not for people. Preach to people through God's power, but you live for God. I'm doing this today not to please anybody in here. Some of you might write me tomorrow. Okay. I'm doing what God has called me to do. My acceptance is in God alone. I don't even ask sometimes, no offense, honey, I don't even ask my wife, because I am supposed to be faithful to God. I don't want anything to taint that. See, God desires faithful followers who have the ability to reproduce more followers. Do not measure your success by the number of people in the seats, but with disciples making disciples. That's what matters to Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the good news, making disciples. Make disciples of all nations, of all people, of all generations. Make disciples. Don't fill auditoriums. Make disciples. Make disciples. Listen, God is not looking for heroes. He's looking for hero makers. Amen? Let that sink in. God is not looking for heroes. He's looking for hero makers. Number five, lastly, stay on fire. I'll say it like I moved here from Arkansas recently, right? Stay on fire. That's how they all say it down there. Stay on fire. What'd you say? Fire? 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 Yes, stay on fire. Stay on fire. See, we want to burn within, not burn out. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 says, this is why I remind you, fan into flames. Fan into flames. Woo! Light me again, God. Fan into flames. Set me on fire, God. Put a fire that shut up into my bones. Take that fire, that little flame I have right now, and turn it into a rager, a fire that burns. Let it burn in my eyes. Let it burn upon my hands. Let it lead my feet. Set me on fire. Set me on fire. Fan into flames. A spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Paul talking to Timothy. Paul talking to leadership. Paul talking to ones that have been called by God to edify and build up the church. So what is the secret to this spiritual passion? What is the secret to spiritual fire? Let me just say this. You've heard me joke about it, but I'm serious. Let me say this. It is always hotter the closer you are to the source of the flame. Sorry, back row. You knew it was going there. You knew it, right? See, I've never met a passionate Christian who didn't spend lots and lots of time with God. You ever met one? It's fake. It's fake if you have. It's fake. See, it's David's secret. It was Moses' secret. It was Jesus' secret. You must pray. And you must read scripture. And I'm not just talking about the scripture you find on t-shirts and on tattoos. Right? Get a little deeper. All right? Oh, that's my favorite verse. Really? What's the verse before it and after it? What's the whole context of that? I could do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you strength, right? Gives me strength, right? That don't mean to eat all your food. That don't mean that you're going to go buy whatever you want to buy. That don't mean whatever you want it to mean. Read the scripture before and after it. Read the whole context. Just because it looks good on an arm don't mean it needs to be just written on your heart if you don't know the whole meaning of it. Pursue intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Find the cleft in your rock that you call life. Hide there and find God's presence. This is how you stay on fire. Dear church, stay lit. Not like the world says lit, all right? Right? All y'all young people are like, stay lit? Shoo. Pastor, what you talking about? That's crazy talk. Right? See, God said stay lit before people said stay lit. God used a rainbow before we used a rainbow, okay? Y'all got to redeem things that God has. Right? Use it for what it is. Stay lit. Stay on fire. See, you cannot be a fire starter if your embers are cold. It's so hard to sit in this seat right now. I won't preach. I'm supposed to be reading a letter, but I'm preaching. I'm sorry. I'm trying. See, there's a huge cold problem we have in our American churches today. Global warming is a joke. There is too much cold going on. Okay? There's too much cold going on in American churches today. We have professional leaders who aren't filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? They rely on an intellect, gimmicks, church growth strategies, human ability rather than trusting God's power. Too much self-help, selfishness, and head knowledge. God touches more than just your intellect, church. Nothing, and I mean nothing, lasts very long if it is not continually connected to the vine. dear church, and dear minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:1. I beg you, standing here for God today, sitting here, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. So, be bold, be strong, stay true to God's word, and make disciples. Stay on fire. I hate seeing that this thing is empty every Sunday. Right? We got one or two faithful followers. Man, if you have to, get away from your family for a moment. Get away from your insecurities. Get away from, come to the altar, fall before the Lord, and get on fire again. Go to the back and do what you got to do. Do something for Jesus. You've been called by God. Set on fire from God. Amen? Be bold. Be strong. Don't worry about what people think. They don't care about you anyway. They don't care about you like God cares about you. So why do you care what they think about you? You care way too much. You care way too much. And you care way too little. You care way too little. Godly leaders. Godly leaders. I'd like to pray a prayer that Paul prayed over the Ephesians. I'd like to pray that prayer over all of us this morning, if I may. May I do that? And we're going to do something at the end here. I just got to stand up. I can't do this anymore. Thank you, God. I'm going to carry this around. Oh. Because I want to look at you. I want to look at you. Amen. You've been called. You've been called by God. You've been called by God. You're going to have to battle this in your life. Before I read this scripture, you're going to have to battle this in your life. And I battle it every day. I battle it every single time. Who am I, God? What? Right? Why am I the pastor? Am I the pastor? Why am I? Why'd you call me in Oregon to come out here? Why'd you do that? He says it has nothing to do with you. See, your ability, your best ability that you gave me, Harris, was your availability. You said, do what you will with me, God. This wasn't my plan for my life. But I don't want to lay on my deathbed one day saying I didn't do what God called me to do. I cannot do that. And to think that if I didn't follow God's leading, I wouldn't be here today talking to you today. I wouldn't be here looking in your eyes saying there's a call from God. See, listen, you're going to battle with who am I, but here's the thing. God specifically uses each and every person in here, no matter what your calling may be. If it's to raise children, if it's to go into that workplace, if it's to go into that humanistic worldview and you fight the fight, the good fight of faith, if it is you to love your family, if it is you to raise your grandkids, if it is you to be in the fivefold ministry, if it's you to be called and to be sent, if it's for you to get involved with this church, whatever it may be, God has called you because there's a sphere of influence that only you can touch because God has specifically called you to do that. Amen? I don't know what this church is going to look like in 5 years. I don't know if God's going to extend our tent pegs. I pray for that. But right now, God's specifically called me to speak to you, to pour in, to edify, to build up, to correct, and to speak to you right now. That's my call. What is yours? What is yours? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. If you don't put that up there, that'd be awesome. I just want to read it. You trust me to read God's word to you? Amen. If not, write it down. You need to do it anyway. You got to go. Be like the Bereans, search God's word. Go and you need to dig into this. Hopefully all week you dig into these things, right? Don't just let it settle for one day. You're going to eat one day a week, you're going to be weak. You got to eat all week. Amen? I'm just here to put a plate in front of you. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. And I do. asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts be flooded with light so that you understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. He called his holy people who are rich in glorious inheritance. Verse 19. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power in us and who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. Praise God. See, there's a lot of mouthpieces, there's lots of hands, and there's lots of feet here. But there's a whole lot more body left. Don't you think that you're singled out right now? You are not. You're just not called into fivefold ministry, but you're called into ministry. Your life should be ministry. Everything that you do, everything that you say, everywhere that you go is ministry. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ no matter what you're called into. Verse 23, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Apostles, look at me if you're an apostle. That's somebody who plants churches and overseas. Prophets, prophesying. Right? We know one here, sure. We know other people got the gift of prophecy. You might be called with the gift of prophecy, but you might be called to be a prophet as well. Evangelists. Amen? Evangelists. See, I'm called to be a pastor right now, but I have an evangelist heart. Pastors. And teachers of God's word. Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. Your responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue till all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up the full and complete standard of Christ. Your responsibility. So I want to encourage you, have a mind for truth and a heart for God and a mouth full of God's fire. Amen? You know what God's fire does? It does two things. It purifies, and it's power. Purified power. When you preach God's word, it purifies with his power. We need more fire preachers and teachers, evangelists, prophets, right? Why do I keep missing one? And apostles. If you're called in the fivefold ministry, will you stand, please? I pray you're blessed by today's message. It was like Paul writing Timothy. It was Pastor Harris writing the ministry leaders today. I want you to hold hands. Everyone else in the church, their call for their life is literally to build up and edify the church. That's all of us, right? When I'm not preaching, I'm right here. I'm here to be built up and edified, right? So I want you right now to build up and edify them. Will you extend your hands to them right now? We're going to pray for the fire of God to be upon them again. Or maybe the fire that's upon them right now will be a fanned flame. And the fire of God will just come upon them like never before. That he is going to anoint you to do what God has called you to. He's going to send you in the places he's called you to. He's going to ask you to partner with this church or partner with something to do the things that you're called to do. Or maybe you're still in a preparation time right now. And right now, God is preparing you for the place that you're called to be. God opens doors. Don't kick one down. Do not kick one down. You'll go in the wrong door. Right now, God is doing something. And I want him to let us catch the fire again. Catch the fire again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 says, and this is why I remind you. And this is why I reminded you today. To fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. This is where I wrote Holy Spirit. It's his time to do whatever he wants. So you're holding hands, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to touch the end of each aisle, and I'm going to ask that God is going to touch you, and a new fire is going to come. New fire is going to come. Our worship leader is in the fivefold ministry down here, so maybe we could play some a little bit of background music, and I'm just going to pray right now, and I'm just going to ask, and I'm going to hold your hand, and I'm just going to pray for fire to come. And then after that, I'm going to ask God to do what he wants to do. There are people in here today that might need to know Jesus. There might be people in here today that need to rededicate their lives to Christ. And do not leave, because God has a word for you, and he has an opportunity that he wants to speak to you today. But first, God is calling forth the leaders of this time to be full of fire, to do what God has called them to. Right now, God is building up an army, and armies are no good if they don't have a leader. And God's calling leaders to step up and to lead into battle the things and that are called. Honey, you got to sit down right now. This is time for ministry. Amen, amen. Clear. All right, God is calling right now that there are ministry leaders to be set on fire. Amen? Are you ready? If that's you in the fivefold ministry right now, I just want you to get an attitude of worship right now. Ask God to fill you right now, fill you, to direct you. And I'm just going to come, and I'm going to lay my hand, I'm going to pray for you. And then after I'm done praying for each and every aisle and of everybody standing, I'm going to come back up, and we're going to minister. And I think God in some way is going to maybe use you guys. I've asked him what he wants to do, and I don't know yet, but I'm going to ask him as I pray, and he's just going to show that to me. Amen? Amen. Please extend your hands. Keep praying for the church, church leaders. In the name of Jesus, we ask for a fire to come upon, just like your word says, that laying out of hands, you're going to stir up that spiritual gift, that spiritual fire, and you're going to fan that flame again right now in the name of Jesus. Fan that flame right now in the name of Jesus. Put a fire upon them that shut up in their bones. Right now in the name of Jesus, we ask for a laying on of hands, just like your word says, and there be an impartation of God's fire right now in Jesus' name. Fan that flame right now in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Right now, stir up that spiritual gift. Stir it up right now in Jesus' name. Boldness to be upon you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now that the fire of God will come and burn deep in you, and it will never be shook, that you're going to have boldness beyond your own understanding in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that fire. We thank you. Keep praying, church. Keep praying. These leaders are called. They're called right now. Fire of God, come right now. Fill this man and everyone he's touching right now with the fire of God in Jesus' name. Fan the flame, fan the flame, fan the flame. Call forth right now in the name of Jesus. Put the fire that's shut up in his bones, upon his eyes, his mouth. God, even though he might not be eloquent with words, you're going to put Holy Spirit words upon him that he's going to speak directly to the heart of all things. And you have not called him to be qualified, but God, you're qualifying him right now, because of his availability. Everybody he's touching right now, there's a fire upon them right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now for the fire of God that is upon each and every person right now. Fan the flames, fan the flames, fan the flames. May you pull forth that calling, God. It is not dead, it is not dead, it is not dead, it is not dead, it is not dead. God is preparing, God is preparing, God is preparing before the launch. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We ask for fire right now, fire to be upon each and every person right here. Thank you for the fire. Fan into flames right now. All that you're doing, all that you're doing, all that you've called right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for the fire of God right now to be upon each and every person in this room. You've called them by God right now. God, you've called them by name, handpicked them, and chose them. And there's a preparation in the right time, in the right time. Don't just wait for the right time. Get involved where you're at. Get involved where you're at. Plant your roots until God uplifts them and puts them where they're called to be. Thank you right now for your fire. Thank you for your fire. Thank you for the fire in both these rows right now in the name of Jesus. Fan the flame, fan the flame, fan the flame right now. We thank you for that call. No matter what age, no matter what time, right now, as long as there's breath in their lungs, they will preach the word of God. They will teach the word of God. They'll go forth and lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They're going to do things to edify and build up the church. You've called them for such a time as this. God, we thank you for your fire right now. Fan the flame upon this front row right now in the name of Jesus. Fan it right now. Fire of God, fill them. Fill them again. Fill them again. Fill them again. They're not burning out. They're burning on. They're burning on. They're burning on in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that call right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. That fire is calling forth right now, just like in the last days you're calling forth. things that you've called them to. Fire God, right now it says in your word that if we lay hands on the ones that are called, you're going to fan the flames right now. Fan them, fan them, fan them, fan them. Holy Spirit, wind blow right now. New kind of oxygen, a new kind of oxygen to that flame right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for these two rows right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the call that you put upon all of them. Fire God, right now you've called them to the things you've called them to. And I thank you for these two rows. And may you fan the flame right now. A new flame. Ooh, a new flame in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you for your availability. God has called you with an availability and a fire that you're not afraid what anybody's going to say or do. God has set you free from things, but that's just the beginning, just the beginning. God has a new fire, a new flame to be upon you. He says, get in your word and read your word, and it's going to be a brand new life to you. God has called you forth to do things that are unconventional of a normal ministry, but you do have a call upon your life to preach the good news, to step in and be like an evangelist in all places that you go. A new fire, a new fire, a new fire, a new fire, a new fire in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If you're in the fivefold ministry and you've been called and that fire's stirring in you, if you're able to, just go ahead and fill this area up here in the pulpit, altar here, and just seek God right now for yourself. Go ahead and just fill it. Or fall where you're at, or do whatever you have to do. Right now is a separation of you thanking God for what he's called you to. And I'm going to minister to the rest of the body before we go. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God has a special thing for all y'all. God has called you exactly where you are. You're ambassadors for Christ. Everywhere that you go, everything that you do. And many people in here today maybe need a stirring again. You might need a confidence again. I don't know where you're at or what you're doing, but I want to first say, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you want to rededicate your life to him and something's going on in your life that you must have a new fresh fire. See, these are people called by God to serve him in some capacity, in something that God handpicked that. But there's a message for all people because we are all handpicked from God to do the things he's called us to. So if you've never accepted Christ in your life or you want to rededicate your life to him today, will you bow your heads with me? With all head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you today, will you raise your hand? I just want to agree with you that God's calling forth that you today, God loves you, and he wants to set you on fire again. I haven't seen any hands. If you raise your hand, raise again so I can recognize. I see that hand in the back there. Rededicate your life. I see that hand right there as well. Rededicate your life to Jesus. Or God has called you forth for the first time to fall in love with him. This is real, church. This is real. Following a real God with real things in our life. He loves us with an everlasting love, and he comes to invade our reality. If there's anyone else, I saw two hands. Is there anyone else that wants to rededicate their lives? I see that hand. Rededicate their life to the Lord. To the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Anybody at this altar that is called to be an evangelist, I need a woman. I need two women and a man. Anybody who has an evangelistic calling, okay, one here and one here. Awesome. I got two women. I need one man who's called to be an evangelist right now. Evangelist. I need one man. Evangelistic call. You got an evangelist call. You got all kinds of calls. Come on up. Amen. Come on up. Awesome. Those three people that raised your hand, will you come up here? I want to agree with you in prayer. Will you come up, please? Those three people, we're going to rededicate our life. Church, as they come, will you celebrate? Will you celebrate? Amen? They're giving their life back to God. Come on up. It's okay. How about this? Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Stand up. Stand up. Okay. Here you go. Come on up. Amen, Miss Connie. You're called by God. No, I only need the men's I need. Look at that. She's being so evangelistic. She's trying to get other evangelists to get evangelistic. Amen? Amen. Miss Tracy, come with me real quick. Back row, did he come up? Okay, awesome. We're going to pray in a second. So, it says in God's word, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Amen? See, it's a confession of mouth. Jesus created all things out of his spoken, his spoken word. He's spoken to existence all things. And that's why words are so powerful. So here in a moment, we're going to worship together. We're going to pray together before we go. But there's three evangelists and there's three people dedicating their lives to Jesus. And I'm going to ask each and every one to use their gift today. So I'm going to go ahead and handpick and put you guys with the people that God has chosen. Right there's one. And then we're going to go find the guy that I think I left because he got nervous. Right? Oh, no, he didn't. There he is. Come on now. Come on up, buddy. Awesome. Thank you. Pastor John, will you go to him? Will you go to this young lady right here in the salmon color? We're going to pray together. This is what I want you to do. See, it doesn't always have to be the pastor, but we're going to lead. You guys are going to pray together. You're going to pray together, and you're going to pray together. And what you're going to pray is a salvation prayer. And you're going to help them follow after me. And you're going to lead them in a salvation prayer. And they're going to ask them to make it real with them. And they're going to pray for them, love them. And I want you to get their information because I want you this week, give me the information as well, but I want you this week to call them and ask them how they're doing, right? They're rededicating their life. We need to help each other out. We need to bear one another's burdens and we need to pray for each other. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to pray. They're going to lead these people back to Jesus in the salvation prayer because you guys matter. Everyone matters. Everyone's called. We're all ambassadors for Christ. So I'm going to pray a prayer that all of you are going to go out with boldness. Amen. And then whatever song is wonderful for worship, let's just play it in the back. We're going to all worship together. And then after the song is over, feel free to go. We'd love to talk to you in the back there. If you need prayer for anything, there's a whole bunch of people up here in the front that want to pray for you. They all volunteered. They're all on their knees saying, God, give me an opportunity to pray for somebody today. Amen? Amen. That's what they're doing. So before they go and before you go, ask somebody to pray for you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and active. We thank you for the call of God upon all of our lives. We thank you for leadership that is to rise up to preach the good news, that you're calling forth in the last days to pour out your spirit upon all people, all flesh. And we'll have dreamers. We'll have people with visions. We'll set the captive free. We'll raise the dead. And we'll cast out demons in your name, Jesus. I pray for that boldness to be upon each and every person before they leave today. God, that we go out into a lost and dying world that needs you, Jesus. And we found you, God. You found us and you healed us and you set us free. May that compassion, may that love burn within us and we go out not judging a world but loving one through Christ Jesus. May we go, and before we go today, God, may you just right now fill us again with your Holy Spirit fire. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, salvation prayer. We're going to worship together. We love you. Hope to see you Wednesday.